Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JusticeGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview.
How did you get started in television and all?
Oh my God, that's such a long story. It's really all I ever wanted to do. I kind of came out of the womb and said, you know, I want to perform, I want to entertain, I want to be in television. And growing up in Indiana, it was not the easiest thing to do in the world. So I was lucky enough to have a kid who lived next door who performed magic and was in the magic club in junior high. I don't know if they even have clubs like that anymore, but he started to teach me magic. And then when I joined the club when I was in seventh grade, I really started to get a foundation in that. And it was a way to get in front of people. And before I knew it, I was, you know, performing at kids' birthday parties and, you know, any kind of thing I could stand up in front of people and perform, I did. Then I talked my way onto a television show. It was called Popeye and Janie, and I was doing magic on that. And then, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, every local channel had a kid show, so I started performing on TV doing that. Next thing I knew, I was on the radio doing weekends from 6 to 11 at a station in Elwood, Indiana, which was about 45 minutes from my house. And I always somehow surrounded myself around people in the entertainment industry. There was a theater group called Footlight Musicals, and I auditioned and got into that. And so the arts were crucial to me when I first got started, and no matter what it was, whether it was radio or theater or just, you know, performing in a high school play, I did it. And the game plan was to at some point move to L.A. or New York. And I went to a college that stressed radio, TV. I was a broadcast management major where I learned about sales and behind the scenes of how to make money if you had to do the administrative side, because I always figured if I didn't make it as a performer, I wanted to somehow stay in the industry. And, you know, it took me a long time. I got out of college in 73, moved to Los Angeles, was a page at CBS Television City, started working as a magician at a place called the Magic Castle, and then I was a regular at the Comedy Store in 1976. And, you know, I was just paying my dues. I was, you know, doing everything from, I used to MC a wet t-shirt contest at a club called Big Jaws in Long Beach, California, just to pay the rent. It paid me $50 every time I'd MC one of those things. And the time my rent was $125 a month, and $50 was a lot of dough back then. So, you know, I would do it. And so I just did whatever I could to get the experience of standing in front of an audience. And I think that's why when the opportunity happened for Double Dare when I was 34, for God's sakes, I mean, I didn't know if I was going to make it, because at 34, that's kind of late to be getting, you know, recognized.
I can say that if you had not done Double Dare, there are a lot of things that I honestly believe I would not have. As a kid, you're growing up and you see.
My question is, what was it about Double Dare that affected your life?
Well, I mean, it is actually the first show that I can remember watching as a kid that was just so polarizingly interesting, every aspect of it. You know, I mean, I had watched, you know, I'd grown up watching some game shows with my parents directly for me, and every kid that I went to school with watched the show. Every kid wanted to be on Double Dare. Every kid wanted to be Mark Summers, and every kid wanted to get slimed. And it's really, they did. And it's, you know, the guys that I do our show with now, it's the exact same story. You know, I mean, every one of us grew up watching Double Dare, and it's really hard to find somebody my age now that wasn't like, oh, man, yeah, Double Dare was the best.
And how old are you?
I'm 30. I'll be 30 in just a couple days.
Yeah, the impact of that show, you know, there are people older than you, because, and when you think about it, if you were 12 when you started watching the show, and it's been 26 years, I think it is now, you know, you're 38 years old, you're married and have a couple of kids, and it's fascinating to me when people come up to me holding kids and saying, you know, I grew up watching you, I used to get off the bus and run home and turn on the show, and, you know, how come they don't have that kind of programming on today? You know, I think it would still be a slam dunk in an updated way if Nickelodeon ever got smart enough to put the darn thing back on, but I don't think that's, you know, for whatever reason, I was the right host, you know.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it actually does transcend pretty well, because I can, you know, pull up on my Apple TV full episodes of Double Bear, you know, some show them some of that 90s programming and say, hey, look, you know, it's a lot different now than it used to be. It's not just a whole bunch of crap, but it's actually fun stuff, and there's, you know, an educational spin to it with the trivia. But, yeah, every kid I knew wanted to be on Double Dare.
Yeah, that's cool. I love when you tell me that stuff. You know, we never knew the impact, certainly when we were doing it, that it was going to have down the road, but it's pretty flattering.
How did you come to get involved with Nickelodeon?
It was all the
things that really?
Yeah, it's all the fluke. I was doing warm-ups on television shows, and I wanted to host programs more than life itself. But back then, it was older guys. I used to audition for things, and they used to say, come back when you have wrinkles and gray hair, because it was Bob Barker and Gene Rayburn and Tom Kennedy and Bill Cullen, and all these guys were in their, you know, at that point, 50s and older, Jack Barry, and had been on television since the early days doing game shows when they were in their 20s, but they had been around for so long, and they weren't going to give a young guy a chance. And so I kind of thought, well, this is never going to happen. I don't know how you break through on this thing. And a friend of mine, Dave Garrison, who was a ventriloquist who I grew up with in Indianapolis, had moved out to Los Angeles, and we were doing clubs together. We were working at the Improv. I was emceeing, and he was doing his ventriloquist act, and I'd do my magic and all that kind of good stuff. And he got the call from his agent to go audition for this show called Double Dare for some network named Nickelodeon. And the only thing I knew about Nickelodeon was we had young kids at the time, and when they'd wake up to get fed at 3 in the morning, we'd turn on and they'd get the New York feed, and we'd watch this horrible show called Pinwheel with the dumbest puppets you'd ever seen. But that was the only thing I knew about Nickelodeon. And he decided he didn't want to be a performer anymore, that he wanted to be a producer and move behind the scenes, that he was fed up with the constant auditions. And so he called me up and said, you know, you should go to this instead of me. So I went to the audition instead of Dave Garrison, not knowing that they had already auditioned 1,200 people in New York City and didn't like anybody and had decided to come to L.A. to look for people. And I was the first person to audition. And I got out of that audition, felt great, called my agent and said, I'm telling you, this is mine. I'm going to get this. And he said, I've got like 10 other clients going over an audition. You know, don't be so sure. And he hung up. And I got a call back, and then I got another call back. And I knew the show. My first audition was sometime in June, and then I went back in July. And I did another one in August, I think. So I think I had two or three callbacks. And then I didn't hear from them, and I knew they were going to start shooting third week of September in New York. And the one thing I used to do back then when I had an audition was write down the names of the casting people and any producers who were on the set, and I wrote them down. And when I didn't hear from them, I picked up the phone and called Mike Klinghoffer, who was a producer-director at the time, and I said, hey, Mike, you know, it's Mark Summers, and I was in L.A., and I auditioned for you, and I haven't heard back. I felt good about the audition. What's going on? He said, it's funny that you call. We looked at a lot of people, and we have it narrowed down to you and one other guy, but we don't know how to select. And I said, well, what's the problem? And when we did the auditions initially, they had adults playing the parts of kids. So we'd had two teams, but it was grown-ups, you know, pretending like they were 11.
Right.
And he said, well, we don't know if you're any good with kids or not, because it's crucial. And I said, well, you know, I've been a magician and did kids' parties, and, you know, I was trying to sell myself. I said, I like kids.
Right.
I was doing anything I could. He said, yeah, but that doesn't, you know, show us if you're good with them. And I said, well, I've got an idea. Why don't you put me and the other guy in a studio with kids and play the game for real and let the best man win? And there was this pause on the phone. He says, I'll call you right back. And he called me back half hour later and said, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, coming to New York for an audition. And he said, you got it. So I flew to New York and did the audition the next day. This was over Labor Day weekend of 1986. And I didn't hear from them for like 2 days afterwards, and I called him and I said, so what's the deal? And he said, you got the job. And I said, really? I said, so after 1,200 people in New York and 1,000 people you looked in L.A., why did I get the job? And he said, well, you guys were both basically the same. But at the end of his audition, he just looked in the camera and said, is that it, or do you want me to do something else? And I looked at the camera at the end of my thing, and I said, and we'll be back with more Double Dare after this. And because I threw it to commercial, because that's all I ever remember as a kid watching game shows, when you got done with something, you threw it to commercial, they thought I looked more professional, and that's how I got the job.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, so you never know.
That is incredible.
That's what, and it changed my life, just to say, you know?
Right. Do you ever have any desire to go back to hosting anything, or you find yourself more comfortable behind the scenes now?
No, I would host anything that anybody would want me to host. You know, I did Unwrap for 14 years. We just stopped doing that. In fact, I'm getting ready to do a pilot for Food Network. But, you know, the industry has changed. Back in, you know, my early days, it was all, quote, veterans, and now they want everybody to, you know, look like a young Ryan Seacrest or have, you know, earrings or tattoos. And, you know, I'm an old guy now. I'm 61 years old with gray hair and could do any show at the drop of a hat, but they don't want guys my age. When was the last time you saw a guy my age hosting TV shows? You don't. You know, it's Nick Cannon.
You don't.
And the people like that. So it's a situation of the industry changing, and it's the only industry in the world where the more experience you have, the less they want you. So, you know, if you're
right.
a reality star, whatever the hell that means, you get opportunities. But if you're a veteran host of game and talk television, they pretty much don't want you. So I chose to go behind the scenes just to stay in the business because I love it so much.
That's awesome. I'm glad you mentioned Unwrapped. When we first started watching Double Dare on YouTube, one of the kids said, "That's that guy from Unwrapped." I was like, yeah, he did this show and another iteration of the show, and What Would You Do, and was the central figure for Nickelodeon long before he did Unwrapped. Oh my gosh, he was just as good back then. Yeah, he was. It's really interesting to be able to say, hey, look, you know, here's this guy. He was able to be a formidable part of my childhood, and you know him because we watch, you know, different programming in our home, and make that connection. It's actually really cool. You need to get back in front of the camera. You really do.
I just did an episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri. He was nice enough to put me on that. And I do stuff from time to time. You know, I shot a Rachel Ray. I'm on The View all the time. I mean, I do guest segments as either a food expert or something to do with game shows. So I still pop on from time to time, not as much as I used to, but, you know, and everybody always says that, boy, you know, you should still host, you should still host. It's like, you know, hey, man, I'm ready to go. You just need to tell the people to make those decisions, you know?
Let's start a campaign to get you back in front of the camera. That'd be great. Whether we do it on Kickstarter or something, let's do it that way. And I really, if Nickelodeon, well, of course, you know, the programming in Nickelodeon is a lot different now than it was in the 90s, but if they wanted to do Double Dare again, I think you could probably do it and still be just as good as you were, you know, 20 years ago. Oh, my God.
I think there's no question about it. I think they would hesitate simply because they'd want somebody who relates to the kids more and to have this, quote, older guy. It probably, you know, there are the parents who would go, whoa, that's the guy who did it when I grew up, and then there would be kids who look at me and think I was their grandfather probably, so I'm not sure it would work. But could you do a grown-up version of this? No question about it. And that's what I always get requested to do. Grown-ups want me to come and play Double Dare at their corporate parties and things like that. And we do drunk Double Dare last couple of years in Philadelphia. They have a thing called Beer Week. And I've hosted a thing called Dunkle Dare, which is the same show with people drinking booze, and it's hysterical. I mean, it gets outrageous, needless to say, but it's fun. And all these, you know, grown-ups want to pretend to go back to their childhood, and, you know, and
yeah.
They love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a central part of my weekday afternoon. So, you know, I can imagine the countless folks my age now across the country that never got to be on Double Dare. That you know, now would totally do an adult version. I'd do an adult version.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be incredible. So, what can we expect from you behind the scenes and in front of the camera the next, you know, few months, year coming
up?
You
never know. We're doing Restaurant Impossible for, we just got picked up for 26 more, so we'll be shooting these through the end of 2014, that I can tell you. You know, there's a potential way that they're going to maybe bring Unwrapped back, called Rewrapped, and they want me to do that, so we're in the middle of negotiations on that. And I'm always out there pitching. I actually pitched to, the funny thing, Dave Shikiar, who used to be my assistant on stage with Robin and Dave, he's now the executive of an international television company. And
Oh, wow.
And he was one of the guys I pitched to the other day. And they're interested in an interesting game show that I pitched them, and they talked to me about hosting, and it would be a primetime thing. So, you know, there's always that potential. I don't think it ever goes away as long as, you know, certainly I walk down the street every day and people recognize me, so it's not like I look like the Elephant Man. So, you know, there's always that going on in the back. And I do personal appearances around the country, and, you know, my life is pretty fun. I split my time between Philadelphia, where we shoot or edit all the Food Network stuff. I'm calling it from L.A. right now, though, but because it's my home. And, you know, life is good. I have no complaints.
Yeah. How's it just different from you at this stage, you know, working with Food Network and being involved behind the scenes, you know, to just be in the face? I mean, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I know from just what little we do every week with this, you know, being behind the scenes is very time consuming, and you have to really know what you want.
Yeah, I'm the first one in and the last one out on a general basis. As if you run a company, you know, it's hiring, it's firing, it's being a psychologist, being a psychiatrist, because these people become your family. Many of these people started working with me on Dinner Impossible 8 years ago, so we've gotten to know each other really well, and I've seen people get married and have babies, and we're kind of a tight-knit group. And you're right about making the decisions. You know, it's interacting with grown-ups and developing programming. And, look, I think I'm a better producer because I was talent. And so, you know, look, three of my students, Guy Fieri, Ryan Seacrest, and Robert Irvine, have all done really well. They've all been people who've grown up either watching me or had me as a coach on the hosting side. And it's gone really well. And they've all been pretty complimentary back towards me. Seacrest, you know, growing up and wanting to emulate me, and then me producing him in a series for Spike TV called Ultimate Revenge. And then Fieri was the winner when I was hosting Next Food Network Star, and we became instant friends, and I helped him get his agent, and Irvine found me and, you know, said, get me on television and help me learn how to host shows. So I've had a pretty good track record with that, and, you know, somewhat become the elder statesman and how to teach people how to do that stuff. So it's rewarding from that perspective as well, and I think as a guy who's been on TV, I can, you know, experience means a lot in channel what I've learned to these guys, and they've all been very smart and very good, and, you know, made me proud.
This has been a Just Us Geeks interview. Make sure you keep checking out JustUsGeeks.com for your daily dose of everything geek, from tech to Transformers, TV, music, video games, and more.